Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, that's a classy intro. Hey, it's our new resource. Thou shalt judge. This is Wretched Radio. If you haven't seen Justin Peters and a Todd Frielius in studio delivering 12 lectures on the subject of discernment so needed these days, please avail yourself of that resource at fortisinstitute.org. I almost said wretched. I ain't no Pavlovian dog. I don't get trained that easily, which I don't think is a compliment to yourself, Todd. The point is, you can see Thou Shalt Judge. It also has a study guide, which we will give to you. Would you like to, if you're maybe specifically for the church, you're commendable, like some of the churches in Revelation. You're the church of Ephesus. You're the discerning church. You're the church that guards against false doctrine. And Jesus to that would say, amen, that is a very good thing, because He is high on theology. But there was also a problem that I think was connected to their discernment, which was good, but their affections had grown cold. In other words, it seems like Ephesus was in perpetual cage stage. They just had to correct everybody about everything. And that is a ditch. Now, we all know on the other side of the spectrum is a ditch of no discernment whatsoever. So you've got those that are too discerning because they discern everything. The pastor sneezes and he actually says, oh, bless me. And then he's brought up on heresy trials because you can't bless yourself or something like that. That's one side. The other side is, oh, let's just be nice about everything. Let's not judge anybody for anything. That is, so judge, thou shalt not judge. Hence the resource, Thou Shalt Judge, as promised last week. Said we would share with you some of it. This happens to be lecture 12. This is Justin Peters. This is a subject. If this, you don't think discernment's, I'll finish a sentence. Discernment is more than just looking at YouTube videos and going, heretic, oh, that's a wonky one. Oh, that thing is dumb right there. No, no, no. We're discerning all the time. We are discriminating constantly, theologically, I mean. That doesn't mean we become nasty. It doesn't mean we judge outward. We're constantly figuring out, okay, what is that? What am I hearing? What level? What are they saying? What are the implications of this? That's just the Christian brain. That should just be our processing center. That is the way that that's our OS. We are discerning like Bereans all the time without becoming ng-ng-ng-ng-ng-ng-ng with everybody. And you are to be doing that in church, not just on the YouTube machine. I got to be careful here, because you can automatically become one of those discerners that starts to just rip your pastor apart. And you don't want to be doing that either. Perhaps this lecture 12 from Thou Shalt Judge with Justin Peters will help voo.
Welcome to this installment of Thou Shalt Judge. My session is titled, When and How Should I Judge My Pastor, My Elders, and My Fellow Church Members? Let's begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says, love is patient. Love is kind, is not jealous, does not brag, is not puffed up. It does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Dear friends, when it comes to judging our pastors, elders, and fellow church members, our default posture is to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Do you? Or are you perhaps still in cage stage?
That is our default posture. We are to believe the best about them because they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They are our family. So if I have a reason to be suspicious of a pastor or a church member, or I think they may have done something that is wrong or they're engaged in some sin, my default position is to think the best of them, to give them the benefit of the doubt. With that having been said, it is not that there is not a place for judging fellow church members and even our pastors and elders, because it is possible for them to enter into egregious and even disqualifying sin. And it is possible that some of them may even be, even pastors and elders, false converts. That is possible. So how are we to go about judging our fellow church members? If you discover that a fellow church member or a pastor elder is in some egregious habitual sin, if that comes to your attention, God has given us a step-by-step process of how to deal with it. And it's found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Jesus says, "Now if your brother sins, go and show him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together, I am there in their midst." So if you discover your fellow church member, your brother, your sister in Christ, and even your pastor is guilty of some egregious sin, then you need to go to that person in private and confront that person. And if he listens to you, in other words, if he admits his sin and repents, wonderful, praise the Lord, you have won your brother. Don't talk about it anymore. It's done. It's over. Don't show up to Sunday school the next Sunday morning and the Sunday school teacher says, "Well, does anybody have any prayer requests and praise reports?" Ooh, me. I have a praise report. I went to Billy Bob this week and I confronted him in his sin and he repented. Let me tell you what he repented of.
I can't believe that he's got a Billy Bob at his church. What are the odds?
No, it's over. It's done. Don't talk about it anymore. It's over. But if Billy Bob does not listen to you, then you take one or two more with you and you go back to Billy Bob on step two of church discipline and you confront him in his sin. And if he listens to you, wonderful. You have won your brother. Don't talk about it anymore. It's over. It's done. But if he does not listen to you, tell it to the church. Oh, you mean you get up on Sunday morning and you tell it to the entire church? That's right. That's what you do. And then after a season of the church being aware of the sin of this local assembly member, after a season of the church having an opportunity to go to that person individually, confront this person again, the whole body, if after that season that person still does not repent, then you treat him as a Gentile and a tax collector. He's proven himself to be unregenerate. These are the steps of church discipline. Very, very few churches do this. And yet, as I said earlier, this is the very first command that Jesus gave to his church. Just as much a command as is the Lord's Supper and believer's baptism. And if we were to look at a church that said, "Well, we just refuse to do the Lord's Supper. We refuse to baptize people." Would you call that a church? No, you would not. Why is it any different with this? This is difficult. It's hard. Nobody looks forward to it or shouldn't. We should. This is not something we should want to do. But in the life of a church, from time to time, depending upon the size of the church, from time to time, it's going to be necessary. It will have to be done. Every single church that I've been a part of, good doctrinally sound churches, I've seen it done at every church I've been a part of. It will come up every once in a while.
And it's scary. This is church discipline. It ain't child's play. It is very serious, eternal play, because that is what is at stake here when you've got somebody who's in unrepentant sin. They're in spiritual danger. Now, if we thought in this context, when I see somebody at church doing something, notice I've left it general, they're doing something, we have to ask ourselves the question, what is it? What is it? And this might be a decent rule to at least consider in the process of whether or not you talk to somebody about an issue is, if this didn't stop, would this mean that they are up for church discipline and could be set outside of the body? And I'm not saying that it doesn't mean then that you don't approach them on that, but it just helps you to discern what we're talking about here and what it is that they're actually doing before we get exercised about it. How many church fights would be eliminated if we considered, does this rise to church discipline level? How many church fights would just be gone if we considered, is that a sin or is that a preference? Is that a sin or does it just bug me? Is that a sin or an annoyance? And until we discern, see what I did there? Until we discern the issues, you don't go then about the business of what you think is practicing discernment with the person until you've done discerning as to what the person is actually doing. In other words, discernment is more complex than just making a YouTube video critiquing somebody, which is why we made Thou Shalt Judge, FortisInstitute.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive.
To be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God.
And this isn't just another how-to show. Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive reveals the truth about your marriage. It's a living picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And your parenting, it's a divine calling to disciple the next generation. As Pastor Brad says, your home wasn't designed to just survive. God created it to thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at FortisPlus.org or all major podcast platforms.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You know what else bothers me about Justin Peters? Thanks for asking. This is Wretched Radio. Not only is the dude just tonally warm, but he's got a great voice. Jimmy, did you ever listen to Justin's voice? Because he's not, you know, loud like some people. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head at the moment because it's my head. The point is, he's not, you don't hear him sounding like an orator might be delivering an inauguration speech. He just talks, but it's so easy to listen to. And so it is on Thou Shalt Judge. It is a resource available at fortisinstitute.org. We also, as we always do, we wrote a study guide with these 12 lectures on discernment, and it's free. We just want you to be able to use these resources. We're trying to keep costs not a thing. That's why our app is free. It's not a subscription model. It's free. And hey, good news, it is growing. More and more people downloading stuff, more and more people listening to the amazing podcasts from Brad Bigney and from John Krotz and Adam Tyson and Greg Giffert and Todd Frielius. So praise God for that. We try to make it free if we can, courtesy of our gospel partners, because we'd love for your church to, wouldn't it be an enlivened class if the subject were discernment? And you could play these lectures, you could do the study guide, and then you could even grab some clips from the YouTube machine and say, let's discern these with the rules that we're learning. Let's discern these. I'll bet that would be a zesty Sunday school class. Here's a little snippet from the dulcet tones. Agitating, just agitating, Justin, of Justin Peters.
Judging pastors. How do we judge our pastors and elders? Dear friends, let me say this. I have a deep, deep love and appreciation for all of our faithful shepherds out there. I'm an evangelist. I travel and preach and teach in churches across the country, around the world, and there are certainly challenges in what I do as an evangelist, but I don't face the kind of challenges that a pastor faces. I can come into a church, spend a couple of days, make everybody mad, and then I'm gone.
Yep.
Your pastor has to put up with you. He lives with you. You know, he knows you. I truly believe, and I don't say this with one ounce of false humility, I genuinely believe that one of these days, the people at the front of the line are not going to be the big name preachers with the big platforms. The men at the front of the line, one of these days, are going to be all of these faithful shepherds out there that nobody knows about, nobody's ever heard of outside of their own churches. They're not being interviewed on the podcast. They're not being asked to be speakers at the big conferences. These faithful shepherds out there in little churches all around the world, yeah. But they're faithful. They love Christ. They love his word. They love their flocks. They labor in the word. They shepherd their flocks. Those guys one day will be at the front of the line.
Now, that is a big amen. Don't we dig the celebrity culture that even exists inside of evangelicalism? And Jesus flips the line. Now, we do need to note this. This is an important note. Because if you dive into Jesus' words about the last shall be first, the first shall be last, you want to be the greatest, become the least, we could actually fall into a trap. The issue is not the position. The issue is the heart. So let's just say, for instance, you've got Johnny Popular. No, what did Billy Bob? Pastor Billy Bob, the popular preacher on radio. Pastor Billy Bob has all kinds of followers, gets lots of people watching his videos. So he is a high-profile evangelical. He dies, it's Judgment Day. Will he be first or last? Because if you take the words of Jesus without really diving into what he's saying, which is a theme of the Gospel of Matthew, that it is about the heart, not about how much money, not job title, not how many followers, it's the heart. So the answer to the question, will Billy Bob be first or last? The answer, I don't know, because I don't know Billy Bob's heart. It's not the position. So we don't want to disqualify anybody. So we can't say, for instance, if somebody's high profile, they're going to be at the back of the line. Nor can we say that somebody who is low profile will be at the front of the line, because it's a heart issue with Jesus. And he is looking for those who faithfully serve. And to Justin's point, I think that because we are so indoctrinated by the world system, aren't we? We just constantly hear their messaging. It's always seeping into us. And the celebrity culture, there's no question that it affects all of us. We can be inclined to think, the ones who had the big churches will get the big rewards. And the answer to that is not, no, they won't, or yes, they will. It's not either. Depends on the heart. That's what the Gospel of Matthew, that's one of the main threads in the Gospel of Matthew. God wants heart. God loves humble. What does he do? He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And to Justin's point, I think we're going to be in heaven and pointing at guys with lots of crowns that incidentally they're throwing at the feet of Jesus and asking, who's that dude? How big was it? If we could maybe ask wrong questions in heaven, this would be one of them. How big was his church? That's not the point. God rewards faithfulness and integrity. And an individual who seeks after righteousness, who acts as a servant to all, that is what God rewards. Back to Justin.
Most people have no idea how much work goes into being a pastor, how hard of a job that is, to use that term, job. If all a pastor had to do, if all he had to do was to prepare one expositional sermon every week, and to do it right, if that's all he had to do, that's a full-time job in and of itself. Pastors of smaller churches, this might seem counterintuitive, but they actually have more work on their plate, more responsibilities than the pastors of the large churches. Pastors of the large churches, they've got a bunch of staff around them to handle all of these things and to go see everybody in the hospital and to take care of this and take care of that. But pastors, elders of small churches, all of that stuff falls on them. I have a great love, and you should have a great love for your pastor, for your elders, and give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, don't get all upset if they say something that may, you know, hit you wrong, or they don't show up at the hospital when you think they ought to be there right on time. They're not at your, you know, whatever birthday party. Please have a great deal of patience and understanding with your pastor, knowing the workload that is on their plate, knowing the responsibility that they have before Christ. All of that having been said, are there occasions in which we must judge our pastors and elders? Yes, unfortunately, sometimes that does come up, but it must be entered into with great caution and great care. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 19 through 20 says this: do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin, reprove in the presence of all, so that the rest also will be fearful. Pastors deserve the benefit of the doubt. Do not receive an accusation. If someone comes to you and said, hey, did you hear what Pastor so-and-so did? Don't even entertain that. Yeah. Don't even entertain it. Don't listen to it. Don't give it countenance. Don't give it room, except on the basis of two or three witnesses who are all saying the same thing.
And by the way, don't share it with your spouse. Hey, so-and-so, Billy Bob, he's a very busy man. Billy Bob approached me to say about Pastor Billy Bob, very popular name in the South, that this, but I told him, hey, I can't listen to that because he doesn't have two or three witnesses. What did you just do? You just contributed to the spreading of something that at this point is unsubstantiated gossip, because until you can sustain it with other witnesses, that's what it is.
Don't listen to one person's report of, hey, did you hear what our pastor did? No, that's called gossip. Gossip is listed in the sins of Romans chapter 1, by the way. A lot of people don't think of gossip as all that big of a sin. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's listed in Romans chapter 1, sins that mark the lives of unbelievers.
It's gossip, factions. Oh, man. Nothing can wreck a church faster than that.
Very, very serious. Elders are not perfect. Pastors are not perfect. The best of men are men at best. But as pastors, they absolutely do deserve the benefit of the doubt. But if we are to evaluate our pastors, we need to evaluate them based upon biblical qualifications. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3.
Guess what I'm going to do? That's right. Push pause. The whole thing is gold. The whole thing is gold. And your Sunday school will benefit from this. And by the way, you'll be doing yourself a big favor in your church. Not to make this a real arm twister for you to get it, but I'm just telling you, when your body knows how to practice discernment and not just all over the place, Pastor, you might just save yourself some pain. You can find Thou Shalt Judge with the warm voice of Justin Peters and Todd Free Elias, the obnoxious one, FortisInstitute.org. This is Wretched Radio.